Well, let's turn as we do. Let's open to John chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to open our lesson this evening with John chapter 3 and verse 16. Actually, 16 through 18. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of God. Well, we've opened these lessons on the subject of grace, and there's the impression I got, I'll just share it that way, because there's so many ways or avenues that you can teach on the subject of grace, but all I sensed was that God wanted to begin to teach on this subject. And the impression that I had, the strong impression, was that to teach it from the standpoint of how we need to grow in grace. What is it that we need to do to initiate something on our end, more on a responsibility side? What do we need to do to grow in grace? What are the things that we can do to initiate a greater growth? Now, we've all sat under teaching, so we've heard not only from this ministry, but other ministries on the subject of grace. But God has put it in my heart for now, for a few lessons, to just approach it from that standpoint. And of course, we've heard and we've read that grace is the unmerited favor of God. We know that. But one of the things that, and you can go through and look at hundreds of scriptures on grace and favor. Another word for grace could be the subject, could be favor or loving kindness, goodwill. But one of the things, or the power of divine influence. But one thing I shared on Sunday, because there's so many accounts of grace and favor in the Bible that you could spend weeks just looking at those. But one that I think is interesting, that kind of encapsulates what grace is in Exodus 33 and verse 13. This is what we shared, verse 13 and 14 on Sunday. And let me just turn over there for a moment. And this is the account of Moses here. And it said in verse, starting in verse 12, and it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." So he's already saying, boy, in my ability, who's going to help me? He's already saying, I can't do this by myself. "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, this is the Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." I'll tell you, when the presence of the Lord is upon you, there is rest and peace. I remember years ago, as a very young man, and it was in my 20s, Was I in my 20s? Yeah, I was in my 20s. 30s, excuse me. That's still young. And I was in prayer, and I was laying on my bed, and I felt like I was leaving my body. I wasn't sick. I was just praying. I had my hands on my stomach. I was praying in the Spirit. And the presence of the Lord was so strong that if you've ever had that experience, I would say maybe for the first time, there's an element of in the flesh, it's like, oh God, what is happening? I don't want to say there's fear, but it's not fear, but there's this element of where what's happening. And it, because it was so intense, so powerful, that I felt I didn't have any bodily sensation. It felt like I was leaving my body. And the voice of the Lord spoke in my room. That's how intense that was. Just spoke and said some things. Now, I say it spoke in my room. It was that loud. I'm sure it was in my spirit, but it was that loud that it sounded like the room was full of his voice. And for 3 days, I walked in a peace that you could have lit off a bomb under me, and it was almost like somebody had shot me up with something. Now, I never did drugs, but I felt like I'd been shot up with something where there was just supernatural peace. And I've never experienced it since then like that, to that degree and that measure. But what initiated it? The presence of God. And I'm telling you, there was peace and rest. Rest in my soul, rest and peace. So I can tell you, I can witness to this, that when my presence shall go with thee, I shall give thee rest. There'll be no anxiousness. And I say that if the grace of God can grow, then the measure of his presence can grow. And the peace and the rest can increase. Because grace is increasing, his presence is increasing. And so we can have something to do with that. We can have a greater manifestation or a greater grace in our life, which is his presence. And or you could say his influence, his divine influence. Well, that is his presence. And we can have an impact in that. And I also shared in Luke chapter 1, and of course, this is the account of Mary and the angel Gabriel appearing to her. And in verse 35, well, it says in verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." That's the presence of the Lord. Grace. And of course, you know from the back up and verse 28, he said, what did he say? "Hail, thou art highly favored." So she was highly graced at that point. And this says here, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, because of that, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, she was able to receive the seed. Grace overshadowed her. And that applies for us also. And of course, just looking at a few scriptures here, we highlighted this, 2 Peter 3:18. We're to grow in grace. So we can grow in grace. And we got over into Sunday. Well, how do we do that? We also highlighted in previous lessons, Hebrews 4:16, grace is our help. And we shared that let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? Help. So grace is our help. Not the government, not your mama, or your husband or wife. They're not the ones that you're to draw from. God will work through them to provide, but they're not the provider. And we need to really firmly get that down in our hearts, because people, when you look at the Bible, it says that when perilous times come, in the end times, people are going to be just distraught because of the climate that they live in. And people are not going to know what to do. And people, we've seen this in times past where people have just killed themselves because they don't see any way out. But we have a way out, the grace of God, to help in a time of need. So we can seek Him for direction. I mean, when you think about it, how would you like to be in a city that was going to be destroyed and God told you? Said, I'm going to destroy this city and you're in it. What would you do? Would you call everybody up and say, what are we going to do? God's going to destroy the city. What are we going to do? And cry and whimper and complain. What did Abraham do? He interceded and said, if there be, what, 50 righteous in the city, will you save it? And he went down and so forth. But then when finally he had exhausted everything, God said, get out. That's not fear speaking, is it now? So what gave access to the deliverance? Faith. And it was faith that was able for them, for Abraham, to even approach God. He approached him in faith, not fear. And it was faith that delivered them. And faith gave him access into grace to be delivered. Same with Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, but a wicked world, God said, that's it. Everybody's destroyed. But Noah found grace and favor. And that favor created a deliverance for them and gave them access. So, and that's no different today, because that's what the word says. We're to come to the throne of grace. And I like this. This is a good scripture here. In the Hebrews 4:16, in the New Living Translation, I like this. I like the way it says this. It says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Oh, I like that. I like just the way that says. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help when we need it most. Oh boy, I like that. He's a gracious God. I'll tell you, that is good news. And here's the thing. Because we serve a gracious God, we need to extend that to the world. That we serve this gracious God who's willing to help. All you need to do is ask Him. And that's the good news we need to be telling the world, that we have this wonderful, loving, gracious God that's willing to save you, to heal you, to provide for you, to deliver you, to meet all of your needs, if you just ask Him. That's all you got to do. And He's gracious. And then in 2 Timothy, we highlighted another scripture. It says, 2 Timothy 2:1, I'll just read this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So grace is also our strength, you see. Be strong in the grace. And another scripture, I didn't read this on Sunday, but Hebrews 12:28, you can write this down. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. So we're able to serve God because of grace. So grace gives us the ability to serve God. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the complete Jewish Bible says in that Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we have received an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may offer service that will please God. So it's grace that allows us to serve Him with reverence and fear. Or it in the King James it says reverence and godly fear. So grace is unearned and it's unmerited. You know, when you think about that, we read that, we say that all the time. But when you think about what the world does, what do? They want to work something. If I do something good enough, then I'll get into heaven. Not, you know, grace is unmerited. It's the favor of God. You can't do something to earn a grace. That's the law. You can't do something to earn a healing. You can't do something to earn a divine influence in your life. Because it said, we were shown, what do we read on Sunday? I believe it was Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the Bible in basic English says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his haters be at peace with him. So you can't earn a grace. You can't earn it. But I will say this. You can't earn a grace, but we can respond in such a way that we can enjoy or partake of more grace. You can't earn it, but you can respond in a way that you can get more. You can increase in grace. It's undeserved and unmerited, but you can do something to get more, to have an increase of more of God's grace. So, what the question was, what must we do to obtain greater grace and increase in favor in our lives? What must we do? What must we do to qualify for an increase? I'm glad you asked. Well, it makes me, and the reason I say I'm glad you asked, because when I asked the question before, how you doing? And you said, I'm blessed and highly favored. And that's good. But there's more than just confessing it. There's more than just confessing it. And the reason I say that, as I was standing during praise and worship, the Lord brought something back to my remembrance from my days of working with the corporate America. And he brought to remembrance this young man, bright, bright young man, very bright. But he liked to tell jokes. He was a jokester. And he was extremely bright. He was on a fast track with the company. We all kind of were. We were oversaw programmers. We would go in. I oversaw the part of the company which was all of the engineering facilities in the company. I worked for a utility company, so I dealt with all the vice presidents and directors and all of that in the various areas of the company, and we designed computer systems for them. So in other words, and these were all online systems at the time. We programmed in something, you maybe not know what this is, but it was CICS, which was all online programming. So you would go in and you would design what they needed, and you'd design the database, and you would design the screens and all of that, and it was all online. So, I had a team of programmers. This guy had a team of programmers and somebody else, right? And he liked to just kid around. He was a big jokester, right? So we had a big directors meeting at a company lodge way upstate. We owned the property. And the CEO of the corporation was there. I'm not talking about another manager. I'm not talking about another director. I'm not even talking about the president or the vice president of a department. I'm talking about the CEO of the company. And he made fun in front of everybody of his Boston accent. Oof. Oof. And I looked and I said, and I hung my head and I said, no, he didn't. He did. He went there. And this guy did not play. He didn't like to fool around. That was the end of his career. They parked him. And they were creating this, they did. They created a big department for him. They moved him out of programming where I was. And they brought him over to game a team of people. That's where he stayed. He never went anywhere. Parked him. And he stayed there and he finally left the company because he wasn't going nowhere. Because you mock somebody in front of people, just made fun of his accent, and the favor of God was upon him. Favor rested upon him. And the same thing, and I share this because the Lord was bringing this back, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll open up and create, he'll put favor upon you and open doors that no man can open. But you can mess it up and lose out on the favor that God has for you by doing something dumb. And so I share that because there's a spiritual side which we think about where grace is concerned. And we all shout and we say, glory to God, I'm highly favored. And then you confess that and say that. And then you can open your mouth and say something and lose it all. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so I thought about that for a moment and I said, yes, we have access into this grace by faith. That's the spiritual side, but then there's a natural side where we can ruin things in the natural by how we conduct ourselves. And it's no different, you know, we sometimes get over, and I had to learn the hard way about eating habits, and I got up, I confessed my scriptures every day. I'm blessed, I'm healed, my body functions normally, and it's not getting any better. Got down to the point where I had 6 months to live. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go to the doctor. And I had to learn that it was more than the spiritual things that I was confessing. It was my eating habits. I was violating natural laws. And you know, we can do the same thing where grace is concerned. We can confess, we can do the right things, and then we can do something in the natural to upend it. Amen? I'm telling you, it's so anyhow. Because by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. That's in Matthew. So we can ruin some things where God's favor has been just extended to us, and we can mess some things up. And we don't want to do that. So it's best to know who you're speaking to and how you speak, you know, when you say some things. Now, let's turn over. I'm going to pick up this evening. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. And verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. You know, sometimes when it comes to our Christian walk, there is, and I shared this on Sunday, we're to come to the throne of grace boldly, but it doesn't say arrogantly. And there's a big difference between being arrogant and bold. I can be humble and bold, but usually if somebody's arrogant, they're prideful. And there's a big difference. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And that word sober, or soberly, if you look it up, I won't get into what the Greek word means, it doesn't matter, but it means to be of a sound mind, to be in one's right mind, but it also means to put a moderate estimate upon oneself, not to think more highly of yourself than you should. And I'm going to share why in a moment, but It'll explain itself. Let me just say it that way. You read this in the New Living Translation. In verse 3 of Romans, it says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves." Boy, that's important. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. And it says, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Now let's read this in the Amplified. It says, "For by grace, unmerited favor of God, given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance." Boy, that's important. That's good. Not having an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. So, in the body of Christ, God has apportioned faith to individuals. Yes, He's given us all a measure of faith, and we all start at the same place, but there also that faith is, it says, to the degree apportioned by God. So we're not to think of ourselves more highly spiritually than we should. We should not. And again, we need to know who we're speaking to and how, because it can affect His grace. So we're not to boast. Now, we're in Romans. Let's back up to chapter 5. And this scripture verse, this is, I love this scripture verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, the King James, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom," talking about Jesus, "also we have access by faith into this grace wherein," what "wherein," the grace, "we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Let me read this in the New King James Version. It says, "Therefore, having been," see, I like that better, "therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." Now, I got a prompt to just look up that word "stand." It says that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in this grace. Now, the word "stand," it says to make firm, to fix, establish, to cause a person or thing to keep his or its place, to stand immovable, stand firm. And I like this, it says, "of the foundation of a building, one who does not hesitate or does not waver." So it's by faith that we have access into this grace wherein we stand. And that grace makes us immovable. It makes us not waver. And this is important in the climate that we're living in, that we need to have faith to access this grace. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace. How? By faith. We're to come to the throne of grace by faith for mercy, to find grace to help in the time of need, and that we can receive grace to stand and not be moving. And what's important with that is that there can be an increase in grace because of this faith. And you know the scripture in Matthew 7 when it talks about how the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it talks about the man who built his house upon the rock. We're talking about the foundation of a building. And it talks about how the rains beat upon this house and it did not fall. It was immovable. And so this grace that we stand in will cause us to be immovable. Immovable in what? Immovable in any situation that you're in. Whether it's a job, whether it's economic situation, whether it's a marriage, whatever it is, with your children, you'll have grace to stand. And it says, like the foundation of a building, it's not movable. And boy, I'll tell you, that is important to know and to feed upon, that it says, by whom, by Christ also, we have access. By faith into this grace. We couldn't earn it. We can't merit it. There's nothing that we can do. But it's by Christ that we can come in by faith to receive it. And we don't have to earn it. It's already available. And he said, come and receive. It's available to help. And we come because of what Christ has already done. And we just have to come and receive and say, Lord, I'm coming to receive. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the ability or the wherewithal to go through this. I need your help. And I'm here by faith to receive. And we know what 1 John says. 5. If any man ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we have. Oh, I tell you, that's so good. So we can have this grace by faith to stand. And we don't have to flop around in life. We should be the foundation in our job. We should be the stronghold and foundation in our homes, in our jobs, in our families. We should be rock solid. Amen. Why? Because of His grace. And that's whereon what we stand. That is our foundation. What is it? And it says, when you go back and read that whole account, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Doeth what? When you need help, you go to the throne of grace. That's what you're supposed to do. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does it, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. What's the rock? The word of grace. Oh boy. That's exciting, isn't it? I don't have to lose in anything. I don't have to come up short in one thing in life. But I can if I try to do it without His help. If I try to figure it out, and then after it doesn't work, then I go. Well, then you may come up short. But we're to do what? It says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. In other words, we can see, by faith we can say, you know what? I can't do this. I don't have it. I don't have the faith of God to do this. When I say I don't have the faith, I don't have the faith developed. I need His divine influence to help me. And I can tell you, you know when it's there and you know when it's not there. And every one of you, if you're honest with yourself, you'll go, and I need some wind in the sails here, buddy. I need some help. I need His presence and His divine influence to help. And we know when it's there, and we know when it's not. And that's having a good estimate, saying, I need His help. And not try to figure it out. Just say, you know what? I need help, Lord. And I'll tell you, it may not feel any different. It may not look like things are changing, but I guarantee you, every single time you reach out and just sincere help, little by little, I've walked through every single one of them. I've walked through situations, financial, health, job, everyone. And when you reach out and say help, little by little, the circumstances start to change in your favor. And you don't lose. You don't come up short. Do I get a witness on that? Amen. Because if I didn't hear an amen, I'd begin to wonder whether or not God's word is true. But I can tell you, I know it's true because I've worked it in situations and grace has been afforded me. And I know He has you also. I know it. I know it, I know it. Now, one story. Let's look at this real briefly. Let's look at Daniel for a moment. And let's look at chapter 1. And you can begin to see some principles in here. There are other accounts, you know, we may touch on those on Sunday. But you can begin to see application here where grace is concerned. Now let's start in verse 8. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, isn't that interesting? Who brought him into the favor? God did. And God, it says, God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, isn't this interesting? When you back up, now look at verse 10. It says, "And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and drink." So in other words, he's already decreed to this person, this guard, this is what they're eating. "For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." Ouch. That means if you don't follow in directions, he could lose his head. So, right away, when you think about it, Daniel, it was bold on Daniel's part. He's in prison to even request that. But he wasn't demanding, was he? It doesn't say that. It says that he requested of the chief of the eunuchs. And then in verse 11, "So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah," in verse 12, now, I think I copied this from a different translation. I believe I copied the New International Version because I listed it as King James, and I'm looking at the King James, and it says, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee." That's what the King James said. Somebody can verify this. I don't want to take the time, but I believe the New International Version says, "Please." Does it? Right. The New International Version, because I have it listed, I just remember, verse 12 says, "Please test your servants for 10 days. What did he say? Please. He didn't demand something, did he? He was humble. He wasn't pushy. "Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants." And look what verse 14, I think this is the New International I'm reading. "So he consented with them in this matter." That's pretty good, since his head was on the line. I'd say that's favor. Would you not? But as I said before, in the natural side, just like I told you that little story about somebody I worked with. Now, this is a different situation. Granted, he's in prison, so he has no rights. But for him, still the favor of God was on them. And he could have messed it up by being demanding. "I'm not going to eat that because that's not what we eat." And he could have been demanding and lost out on the favor of God that was upon them. Is that not true? Could have. But what did he do? Please test your servants for 10 days. He asked in a submissive way. And that favor rested upon them. And so you can see in verse 14, that chief of the eunuchs consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward then took away their portion of delicacies and wine that they drank and gave them vegetables. He gave them what they wanted. But he wasn't demanding. And he didn't mess up, if you would, in that sense. He didn't mess up the favor of God and the goodwill that rested upon them. Now let's look real quickly before we close this evening. Just a couple of scriptures I want to look at. Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. And very familiar scripture. It says, "For by grace are you saved?" How? Through faith. So how did we receive this unmerited favor? How did we receive that? By faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So grace is God's hand extended to us, and it's our faith in a trusting hand. In other words, our faith in what? In His. Or you could say it's faith in our trusting hand in His. So you could say it that way. He provides, we have to receive. So the provisions are there, the grace is there, but we have to receive it by faith. And I like this. This is the New Living Translation in Ephesians 2:8. It says, "God saved you by His grace when you believed." And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation. See, this is where we get over into works. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it." So whatever grace we've received, when we go to the throne of grace to get mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, it's free. And when we receive, we can't boast anything that we've ever done, because it was all because of His grace and His influence and His presence that got us to the place that we're at. So not one of us can ever boast, because it's His grace. The Amplified says, "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself." So you can't give any more into the offering to get more grace. You got to operate by faith into this grace. And we also read on Sunday where we highlighted Hebrews 11:6, "For it is impossible, for without faith, it's impossible to please Him." So you can't please God without faith. And it's this faith that pleases God that opens up grace to us. And that's the wonderful thing. So we can initiate more by faith. It pleases God. So grace requires faith for God's blessings to be received. Grace requires faith for God's blessings to be received. And of course, we read that right in John 3:16. Now, let's finish with Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 16. Familiar scripture. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. Let me read this in the New International. It says, a version, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. So the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. I like that. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. So faith is our part, our response to receive God's grace. And we can increase that, or there can be an increase of grace in our lives, in our response by faith. And we come to God in faith, and there's going to be an increase in grace. There's going to be more grace. And of course, we shared the various scriptures where, of course, we know in James 4:6, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. A humble person's going to come to the throne of grace in faith. But a proud person, most often will not, will try to figure it out themselves and ignore the help. And that's why I think it's of grave importance at this point that when we come together on Friday nights, I just have this sense. I'll say it this way. I don't operate, at least in a prophet's office, because that anointing is not there. But every one of us can sense things in our spirit, and God will reveal things. Now, there's a difference. Right now, today, God has graced me to stand in this office as a pastor. But there are things that you sense, and you begin to see some things. And I'm going to share this, that I'm sensing some things about the current climate that we're in right now. And I have a sense that in a very short time, things are going to change in this earth. And I'm not going to say what they are, because that's not beneficial. But I have this sense of what's going to go on, and it's going to require us to access this grace, wherein you're going to stand, because if you don't, you'll fall. I'm just telling you the way it is. If you don't access this grace, wherein you stand, that grace will cause you to be immovable. Because when it says the winds come and the rains beat against that house and it could not fall, that's the grace that we stand upon. And it does not matter whether you were in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah or any other place, you were able to stand and resist the evil that was in that place. Did Abraham and Lot succumb? No. Their families didn't. Did they succumb? No. Because they had grace upon them. And there was a divine influence there that protected them and gave them the strength to resist. And the favor. And so we are going to see things change in this earth that is going to cause the world to not know what's going on. Their hearts will fail them. But it shouldn't be on our, it should not happen to us. Because we are going to access this grace through faith, wherein we shall stand, and we're going to stand upon this grace. And we will not be moved. See, it's wonderful when everything's going great. But I'll tell you, you find out what's in you when the pressure's on. And external pressures are happening, and all of a sudden, they take all your Christian rights away. And all of a sudden, the government doesn't have enough money to pay Social Security, and they say, you know what? Because they've been talking about it for years, they don't have enough money to run this government. They borrow more money. They borrow almost 35 to 40 cents on the dollar. Did you know that? No. Well, I read it recently. 35 cents on the dollar this government borrows from other nations so that they don't go in default. Shouldn't be. And none of the politicians, I don't care what side of the camp you're on, are getting up and being honest about the climate that this government's in. And you better access this grace by faith, because they'll wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? No more benefits. No more tax-exempt status for churches. You still going to give? See, that's what I'm talking about. And things are going to change in this government. And we better have a solid foundation that we're standing upon, otherwise you'll get swept away. Because that's what the scripture says. When you don't build your foundation in your house on a rock and it's on sand, great was the fall. And I'm just sharing that because we can see examples in the scripture where those in the Old Testament were right in the middle of the dens of evil and some of the worst things, and had the favor of God upon them and provisions. I mean, when you think about it, we read that scripture all the time over in Genesis where Isaac went into where they had a famine in the land. Didn't he? And he prospered. So when the favor of God is upon our lives, it really doesn't matter what the conditions are. We'll go right through them. And our needs will be met. Everything will be met. And we'll have favor. What is that? God's presence is upon us. And in us. You agree or not? Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. But I just have this very strong sense things are about ready to change in this earth. And we better be standing on a solid foundation. Better be. Because it could change in an instant. And I remember when Reverend Mary Frances said, she said that she prophesied, this was a number of years ago, said we're entering into the final corridor and it's not going to take as long as you think. It's going to be suddenly, it's going to change. And that's what's going to happen. It's not going to take hundreds of years to reach the masses. Everything's in place. And you're beginning to see things and conditions just in the natural. You can see things happening. And whether it takes another year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years for the return of Christ, I'm sensing some things are about ready to change. And we need to be ready. And I think we are. I believe so. I believe that we're sharpening ourselves, but in an instant, just like this. This place could be full of people that are coming for answers to life's issues. Because things, the foundations that people have stood on are shaking. And it's almost like the rug's pulled out. What? Okay, I'm going to the church. They got to have the answers. It's coming. Quickly. And we need to be ready. Praise God. Father, I thank you for this word this evening. Thank you that we are evaluating and estimating ourselves where we are. But we desire, Father, if we've missed it in any way, shape, if we've missed it by not coming to you as we should, we repent now. And Father, we desire and we purpose to come to you for the least little thing, so that our house is built upon this solid foundation, the word of grace. And it's that wherein we stand, so that we are immovable, unshakable, not wavering in the winds of life that are about to come. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that you look and you graced this house. And you're talking, Father, and revealing and unfolding that you've got bigger plans and more to do with this house and through this house. So, Father, we ready ourselves to be used. We purpose to walk uprightly before you. In Jesus' name, amen.